How to get started in mobile home park investing. That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey, I'm super excited to have Ryan Naris back on the show. Last time Ryan was on the show, we talked about how he was wanted to avoid completely the corporate world, stay away from it. And he said, I'm going to make a change in my life, overcame enormous fears in his life to take action, and really knew nothing about real estate investing, kind of like I did when he got started. And closed on 8 mobile home parks in a short amount of time in 3 years with no experience, done over $20 million in acquisitions since then. And Ryan is back on the show today. We talked a lot about fear last time, Ryan, but this time we're going to talk about specifically mobile home parks and the ins and outs of how you do it. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. And believe it, since we last spoke, I am now up to 10.
Wow.
So we're rocking and rolling.
So no moss grows on this stone. And plus you also had a child, didn't you?
I did. It's been a wild summer.
Well, good for you, man. So a child, two more babies, two more mobile home parks that you've added to your collection. So last time we had you on the show, we were talking about overcoming fear. And maybe just let's rewind the clock a little bit and talk about that and why, you know, this idea of settling is so means a lot to you, this idea of not settling at all. And so many people, I think, who watch this show, I hear from them. I see the emails. I see the Instagram messages. I see, you know, the comments that they are wanting to take that leap. They're wanting to make a change in their life, but they feel like maybe settling is kind of what they have to do for some reason. What do you say to those people?
It's not. And as Tim Ferriss discusses in the 4-Hour Work Week, a nightmare situation is actually not that bad. And as long as you can maintain your health and maintain your close relationships, the truth is money doesn't really buy you happiness. And like we discussed last time, when I quit my job and I took over a 50% haircut on the money I had coming in and moved into a mobile home and lived on the property every other week for 14 months, you know what I found during that time is I really didn't miss a lot of the stuff I was spending my money on. And now I am so much happier. So what I'll say is I'll reiterate a line from one of my favorite rappers, Lil Dicky, who in a collaboration with Snoop Dogg had this gem of a line where he said, I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to try. I wasn't one of those kids on the block with nothing to lose. I must have wanted this a lot because I had something to choose. So that's kind of a modern day burn the ship, so to speak, right? He's basically arguing he wants his dream of being a rapper more than some kid with no other option, right? Because he went to college, because he can go and get a job relatively easily, because he can live a middle class lifestyle with the creature comforts that come along with that. It's a lot more, it's so much easier to get stuck because you've got your kids, you're sending them to school, you got a nice neighborhood, you feel safe, and why risk anything? But what I would push back on that is you have everything to risk, because when you're 80 years old looking back on your life, are you going to go, oh boy, I'm really glad I didn't chase my dream. You know, I did what was right. I stayed put. No, you're going to look back. And now that I have a child, I am going to be so proud to look back, even if this blows up in my face and I go bankrupt. I'm going to look back and go, I am so proud I could teach my son by example. Courage, humility, grit, not being a victim, going out and chasing my dream and leading by example. So I would push back on that. I would say, quite frankly, it's riskier to stay put from not only a corporate layoff standpoint, but also a regret standpoint when you're in your elder years.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. You've had a crazy summer. I've had a crazy summer, you know, moving abroad, just, you know, saying, look, I don't want this crap anymore. I don't want the things, the material things. When I moved with one suitcase and I brought 5 shirts, 2 pairs of shorts. One was blue, one was black. And, my God, man, it's been the most liberating, freeing feeling to say, you know what? What's important to me is my family. I can run my business on an iPad, sit down with a cup of coffee and know that I'm not buried beneath all of this meaningless crap that we buy. that we spend so much money on. So you have all these entrepreneurs or young people watching right now who want to start investing in mobile home parks or single family properties or whatever, but they're spending so much money on crap and they're weighed down by these material things that they're buying to impress somebody else. I couldn't agree with you more. You have a choice, right?
Yeah. And you'd be surprised at how you will not miss things. So Malcolm Gladwell has an awesome podcast and he had a wonderful interview with an artist who lost everything in the California fires. And that artist said something that kind of caught me by surprise when he said, I really, when everything was burned to a crisp, in so many words, I didn't realize how much I wouldn't miss it.
Wow.
It's just stuff at the end of the day, right? Right. Your health and your relationships with your friends and family are so much more valuable.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, living in that mobile home park, that must have put some things in perspective. Tell me about that.
Well, so it started off, there's two reasons why I did it. One was a business reason and one was a personal reason. So the personal reason was I wanted to go full-time and I was tired of making excuses. So I moved in to cut expenses and blah, 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 blah. But also because if I'm, the problem that folks, I don't think realize about real estate is you're buying a business. It is a leveraged buyout. This isn't, oh, I'm going to go buy a house. No, you are buying a business. And if it already has a tenant in it, you are buying a cash flowing business. And for me, the way I look at business is where's the money coming in? And if the money is coming in from someone living on that property, then what better way to understand the product you are delivering by consuming it? So, here's a question that I had that I wanted to know. What does it feel like to be in a mobile home in the middle of the night during a thunderous rainstorm? What does it feel like in the middle of the winter when you have paper thin walls and an air conditioning unit that is pumping like the little engine that could? The answer to that is you move your bed to the middle of the home where it's the warmest. You know, when little Miss Janice comes in and complains about the kids on July 5th, setting off the fireworks late at night and shooting little rockets at her home, you can say, Miss Janice, I'm also mad. You know why? Because they did that to me too. And when you fundamentally understand your product, you can communicate better with your tenants and you can give them a better product because it will be much more impactful for you and what they're saying. You'll be less likely to brush them off and like, oh, that's Miss Janice. She's going to complain. She's just older and wants someone to talk to. No, like there are, those will be much, I'm biased because I did it, but if you want to be a good businessman, you need to be a student of the game and you need to understand things top to bottom. And there's no better way to do it than to put yourself, to just full immerse yourself into it.
I love that. And that's why the stock market makes no sense to me. These guys who, you know, I used to work in Midtown Manhattan and the Wall Street guys who literally didn't know much about the businesses at all that they were buying into on a daily basis. They, you know, to them, it was just making money. It was just money. And that to me is like, I can't align myself with that in any way. And so I love that you would immerse yourself in this neighborhood and live there to know what goes through the minds of people that would live in a mobile home park. So tell me, what types of people live in a mobile home park? Are you going to shatter some stereotypes for us?
I would love to, because it's not who you'd expect. You're talking teachers, single mothers that are making $30,000 or less being a school teacher, divorced men, divorced women, MBAs, graduate students, people who are going to college. There are a lot of folks. Yeah, of course, you have the Hollywood stereotype trailer park boys type knuckleheads that are up to mischief. And
right,
you do have an element of that. So it's not that that isn't true. What is the unexpected part of a mobile home park is at the end of the day, it's affordable housing. And like Deutsche Bank said in quarter one, 2019, 37% of people in the United States of America that need affordable housing can actually find it. So in other words, there are millions of upon millions of folks who really need a place like my average lot rent's about $300 a month. and you get a yard and it's a smaller home, but it's your home. It's your community, right? And like I said, you're going to have folks that you would not expect to be there. Medical bills, it's atrocious in the United States. It's atrocious. So my son was born about a month and a half early. So he had about a 16-day stay in the NICU, plus my wife was there for about a week. So we're pushing almost a month, and not all the bills have rolled in yet. And thank God we have insurance. But so far, the asking price for about 30 days, give or take, in the hospital in the United States of America is $119,000 and climbing. So thankfully, we'll only have to come out of pocket whatever our deductible is, and fingers crossed, nothing else bad will happen. But, you know, how can someone with a family, with a couple kids and a $40,000 a year job or less, afford $119,000 plus for a broken medical system in the United States of America? And I'll tell you, the answer is they don't. And right. They then find out they're you know, good people who you go to church with, who you see at the grocery store, who you would never guess live in a mobile home park, live here for reasons that are sometimes completely out of their control.
And it's good that in America, you have a $700 billion a year defense budget so we can build useless aircraft to make these contractors happy. I mean, don't even get me started on that. Yeah, there's been plenty of, I mean, John McCain was a champion against this stuff. He started coming out towards the end of his career saying this amount of waste, we're just lining the pockets of all these people making gas masks that we don't even need. I mean, they're just spending millions of dollars on garbage. And then you have people like this who don't even have proper health insurance, teachers having to bring in their own construction paper and into schools. Yeah, we've got a problem.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. We know how difficult hiring is, right? Especially with this job market right now. I mean, everyone is scrambling to find qualified candidates because this is the best job market we've had in like over 50 years. It's hard to find the right qualified candidates. That's why if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing right now, you're going to be able to find a qualified candidate probably within 24 hours. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't just stop there. With their powerful machine matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and then they invite them to apply for your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter out candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. So right now, you can try it for free. You can try ZipRecruiter for free. All you need to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing. That's INVESTING. ZipRecruiter.com/investing. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
Well, thank you for shattering that stereotype for us. Now let's talk about some of the mechanics of what you're looking for when you're looking for a mobile home park. You added 2 over the summer. So tell me about one of the 2 of those today. And maybe we could, you know, if you want to rewind the clock back to your first deal, you can. But what are you looking for today when you're trying to buy a mobile home park?
Sure. So I'm glad you asked that, because I'm the type of person who's proud to pay at or above what the mobile home park appraises for. So sure, everybody's looking for arbitrage. Everybody wants to find a mismanaged diamond in the rough. But the truth is, I lead generate effectively every single day. And the deals are just not there. If you are expecting to just find a unicorn, I could probably count on one hand the number of unicorns I've found. It is hard. And if you are lucky enough to find one, because I believe I have more than once, it is not sustainable. So at first, when I didn't have any money coming in, my big thing was, let's find a way to monetize it, right? So I'm going to go be the physical property manager. No one wants to do that. Everyone wants to hire a third-party management company. I want to learn my business from the ground up, and I want to pay myself that salary so I can eat, right? And so I can continue to find deals. And through that process, I basically was forced to buy properties that were a mess. So in other words, something I could buy for pennies on the dollar at a fair price, if not paying up, quote unquote, paying up, paying a little more than the appraised value, but then making it worth more because I was there. Now, so with my most recent acquisition, the office that I'm in right now, we actually bought a more stabilized property. And the reason being is because now that we have systems in place, now that we have a different set of investors, now we can start chasing after more stable deals that are on market that are way more expensive. And the idea is you go in, you pay a market price for it, and you get fee income, and you basically you stabilize a little bit more, maybe add a playground, do a little bit of things. You don't crank the rents up crazy high. You basically are buying a business to cash flow it in the short run. And you can't do that if you are starting out and you are in the capital multiplication strategy. So there's two strategies, right? Either capital multiplication or capital preservation. So now that I have my capital in a spot where, yeah, I'm still trying to multiply it because I'm 32 years old and I'm not super wealthy. So I do need to multiply my capital. But now because we have a good stack, now we can start to look at some opportunities that are more about capital preservation. So good cash flowing deals that aren't going to jump off the balance sheet as like 20% plus cash on cash returns, but they're in good locations. They're stable assets. They're nice assets. So I can kind of transition into another, there's another kind of property I'm looking for now.
Yeah, tell me about that. So, you know, when you're raising money to do this, right? So you're not coming out of pocket, you're pulling together investors who want to go in on this. What's like an average, what's the average cost of one of these parks that you've pulled money together to buy?
Sure. So I almost always put in my own money, and that's just maybe it's stupid, but it's like an ethical thing for me. I don't want to hype up or sell something that I'm not willing to do that risk with you. So with exception to this one I'm at right now, because it actually made more sense not to, for long story, but occasionally I won't put up money, but most of the time I demand it, that I put in my own money. So for example, this one that we're at now, we bought for 4.25 mil and the capital raise was about 1.25. So I didn't put any of my own money. We brought on, I think the ownership structure is about two other folks, and yeah, I mean, the cool thing is when you get to, so not that I'm a bigger player, I still consider myself a small time guy, because I am. 10 mobile home parks, 10 acquisitions isn't a lot. I now have folks who are, I don't want to say desperate, but like are really enthusiastic to do business with me. And so now when I find a good opportunity, I have buckets where my investors kind of fall into. And so when I find an opportunity, I call someone up and go, hey, look, I have this type of opportunity. It's what you were looking for. Are you ready to rock and roll? And so that's exactly what happened with this one.
So why do you like this approach to investing rather than, you know, I'm a single family home guy. That's my bread and butter. That's what made me financially free. Maybe it's kind of what you fell in love with at the beginning. You stick with it. Maybe is that kind of what you did? Or when you're really looking at this, you said, you know, this makes just way more sense to me. This speaks to me in a deep way. And that's why I want this to be the thing that I focus on for the rest of my career.
And that's exactly what it is. So it fit my skill set like a glove, and it fit my charity aspirations like a glove. So growing up at a young age, I discovered that through having a learning disability, I had the parents with the finance and the financial wherewithal and the patience to help me get my education. And I realized at a young age that I was really lucky and that was out of my control. And I just had so much fun and got so much meaning from tutoring underprivileged kids that didn't have either the parents with the financial wherewithal to support learning disabilities, or just the patience with kids without disabilities, just the patience to sit down and make sure they get their homework done.
Right.
And so I really wanted to help kids that didn't have that advantage that I had growing up. So to be able to work in affordable housing and to do what I do, which is I've got a partial scholarship for my residents, partial college scholarship. I help pay for college apps. I do free food giveaways and Bible studies, Zumba classes, all sorts of stuff. And the reason why is because it brings me meaning and purpose, and it helps me fight through bad days. And because of that, it helps me psychologically cope with the tough times as well as celebrate the good times. So from that aspect, it made sense, but also from a professional standpoint. So I'm a former salesperson. I love selling things. I hate having inventory. So my wife and I, we tried to start a business selling hygiene products, and trying to figure out warehousing and stuff like that just was atrocious to me. So real estate is appealing to me because I don't have to worry about warehouses. I know what I have, and then I can go out and sell it. I love marketing, and I love persuasion and negotiation and all of that stuff. So from the skills that I developed in my 20s and even before then, and where my passion lies along with my skills and also with my charity, Mobile Home Parks just fits all of that like a glove.
That's great. What do you talked about not trying to find these unicorns. And I'm with you. You know, I mean, the properties that I end up buying, I'm building new construction. So I'm like right at the market value and I'm placing a tenant in there. I'm doing a cost segregation on the property so that I'm able to accelerate that depreciation on my taxes. But trying to find these ridiculous unicorns, I've had them. I've had quite a few of them over the years, but they're rare and you can't really, I don't think you can build your business around that model. So how do you find at least somewhat competitive, reasonably priced deals in this marketplace right now? How are you finding some value?
It's really tough because once a broker gets a hold of it, forget it.
Right.
I hate to say it, but when the broker is obligated to sell that property for the highest price, so they are going to shine it up, put lipstick on the pig, so to speak. They're going to do anything they can to twist and turn and manipulate their OMs and their sales pitches to eventually find that knucklehead and then, you know, with way too much money and no idea what they're doing, and they'll overpay for a property. That's where their incentive lies. So you really have to attack it off market. And the problem with my industry right now is that we're suffering from a very one-sided hype story from a handful of individuals who are very public, who basically hype up the unicorns in my industry that are very hard to find. And the problem is not the person like me who has very little capital to go and get started. The problem are those Wall Street folks and those medium-sized syndicators who go out and raise $10 to $50 million in funds under the supposition that mom and pops and seller carry and direct build utilities and all of these fancy, nice things exist in droves. And when they find that that is not out there, what ends up happening is they've got, say, a 2-year maturity to place that capital that they raised. When the clock starts ticking, they're going to start buying. And all of a sudden, that broker who gives that sales pitch that to any reasonable person would go, okay, buddy, come on.
Right.
They all of a sudden, their psychology, like I came out with an episode on my podcast called How Smart People Outsmart Themselves. And that is exactly what my industry is being subjected to, are really smart people, charismatic, Ivy League grads, oftentimes justifying the unjustifiable. But the problem is market is only what someone's willing to write a check for. Well, when you have all of these folks coming in, writing checks for ridiculous prices, they are making the market. So it's almost to the point now where you can't buy things on market anymore. That being said, the one that I'm sitting in right now, I was actually competing with a friend of mine who is a broker. He was trying to score the listing. And long story short, I ended up buying this one for about what it would have gone for on market. So even then, because you have folks who don't want to buy things on market, you have new entrants with not a lot of capital doing direct mail, cold call, all sorts of direct outreach. You have these owners who are getting outreach from medium-sized syndicators to big syndicators to just kids in their 20s like I was who have no idea what we're doing to these brokers. So they have options. And because of that, it's very hard to find someone who isn't being talked to by everybody in the world, so to speak.
Right.
So if you're going to do the off-market outreach like I do, you know, I have 4 years of sales experience. It doesn't mean I'm an expert. It just means I'm going to be competitive where others aren't because I have a skill set that others don't. And I'm also not going to outsource that because I don't think you can outsource building rapport. And I'm sorry, but if you want to buy things at reasonable prices, you almost have to do it off market, and you have to pick up the phone yourself, and you have to have skills to overcome objections, and you have to have patience. I mean, I had a guy here in the Charlotte area who I worked for 2 years who told me point blank, I'm selling this to you. But the problem is he was going through a divorce, and the problem was I didn't spend enough time on the ex-wife, and it turned out she had way more sway than he did. And I ended up getting burned and not buying that property. And I only missed it by like 50 grand. So it was a drop in the bucket. And that stung. But the truth is, I sold for 4 years and I had that same scenario play out over and over again. I know how to take rejection. I know how to have patience. And unfortunately, for a lot of folks where you feel stuck in your job and you want to quit and go full time, but you want it now, you won't have that patience. And it takes years.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And this sort of get rich quick mentality, I want to try to beat that out of people's heads because, you know, it takes years. It took me many, many years to get to the point of being financially free. There was a lot of groundwork laid and a lot of work behind the scenes to make that happen. And so that's one thing I want to be able to impart to our audience.
Today's episode is brought to you by Keeps to help you cut out hair loss. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. Ugh. Well, the good news, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can take care of those symptoms of hair loss and help get you the hair you love all back again at half the cost of your local pharmacy. You don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. I recently went home and was visiting someone for their big 40th birthday party. I got to see a bunch of friends from high school, and I knew about Keeps, and I mentioned it to a couple of my friends. I have a full head of hair, so I don't have this issue, but a bunch of my friends do, and they're going bald or bald already, and I couldn't believe it. I told them about Keeps, and they said they are going to order it. They are absolutely going to get on board with it because prevention is key. So some of the guys who still had, you know, mostly a full head of hair, Keeps treatments really work. They're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. So the sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments, so you'll grow it back. Keeps has revolutionized the way that men are treated for hair loss. Thanks to Keeps, you no longer have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. You can visit the doctor online. Get your hair loss medication delivered right to your home. No more waiting rooms. No more pharmacy checkout lines. You get doctor attention. They've got 5-star reviews of nearly 100,000 men who trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention. Just start at $10 a month. That's it. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free by using our little code here. First month's free. That's one hell of a deal for keeping your hair, right? So here's what you got to do to get your first free month. Just go to Keeps, that's K-E-E-P-S, keeps.com/investing. Keeps.com/investing to get your free month and $10 a month after that. So you got to spell this out here. Ready? Keeps.com/investing. Thanks, everyone.
Before I get you out of here, one more question, Ryan. Where do you see the market going right now for mobile home parks? They're not building any new ones, are they?
They're not building any new ones. I think less than 5 were developed last year, and that was an uptick. So it's just counties don't want them. They're even at high prices now. They're even still more expensive to develop. So with local municipalities and counties and governments not interested in them, and with developers who realize that it's still more expensive to develop than to build, you're actually seeing attrition. So we're losing about 1% of the mobile home parks in the country per year. So eventually it'll breach that threshold and it'll be cheaper to develop and the governments will be more open to having them. But right now it's not. And unfortunately, this asset class has been ignored for a long, long time. And I think the market is correcting. So if you follow NKF there, I believe it was Q2 2019, they basically said the average cap rate for a mobile home community, manufactured home community, was about a 6% cap rate. So it's only slightly higher than apartments are trading right now. And they're trading for about $45,000 a pad. And where I see it going is, unless the economy takes a dip and the interest rates start going up, I see cap rates, even in a recession, staying put, because these are touted as recession resistant. And I think they've been ignored for a long, long time. And I think you're going to see a little bit of a correction, because a lot of folks are drunk on a hype story. And the market's smart. The market's going to figure out that that hype story isn't really based in a whole lot of fact. And the market will correct itself, but I don't see it ever going back to mom and pop's 10 cap seller carry everywhere. What I think will happen is you'll have a slight correction, but for the most part, where the pricing is at today, it's going to continue that way. And unfortunately, for folks that really want to break into this industry, you are going to have to get creative. You're going to have to go live in a property like I did, or you're going to have some competitive advantage that others don't. And that's just, you know, the unfortunate truth of it is, it's going to be a grind. It's a grind now. It's going to continue to be a grind. And I just, get rich quick just does not exist. And if it ever did, it's not coming back.
No, for sure. And I've seen the hype game you're talking about on mobile home parks on Instagram. Yeah, I'm glad you called that out, because it is a slow patience game in order to build wealth this way. And I love what you said about having that a competitive advantage and just putting in the legwork. It's not get rich quick. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out of the new baby, crazy summer, picking up two new properties, and you're actually in one of the mobile home parks as we speak, doing business as we speak. So thanks for taking some time out to chat with us about mobile home park investing and overcoming your fears. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm honored to be here, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Clayton.
You bet. And tell people where people, if they want to learn more, I know you got a podcast, to tell people where they can listen to that as well and connect with you.
Yeah. If you're sick and tired of the hype story and you want to learn more about mobile home parks, come and see me. It's MHPIRL. It stands for Mobile Home Parks in Real Life. You can Google me. My name is Ryan Narus. It's spelled N-A-R-U-S, N like Nancy. And basically, I strip out anything sexy from my podcast. I like to say I'm the guy on the corner selling vegetables, not in this big building selling smoothies or ice cream, right? If you want to do mobile home parks and you don't want a hype story, you want someone who has nothing to sell, not looking to raise capital, just someone who is interested in giving you the raw truth, that's what I offer. My website's archimedesgrp.com. If you don't like to listen to my voice, I've got a blog. I've got short little videos if you're ADHD like me and you want 90 seconds and then you're done. So I've got all sorts of stuff, and I love helping people. So I don't expect anything in return. I just, you know, I'm sick of the hype story, and I want people like me to be able to enter this space and compete in this space. And even if I'm training you up to be my competition, so be it. I would rather you than some knucklehead in New York City with way too much money in their bank account and will never actually show up to their properties. So if I can help you be that, please reach out to me.
Absolutely. I love that. In my opinion, there is no such thing as competition. So you hit the nail on the head. Ryan, great to see you, my friend. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you for subscribing and downloading. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for your kind reviews. It's always great to hear those reviews. Oh, there was one just coming in right now. No, that was my wife texting me. And that was from, that's for me forgetting to put my phone on silent. But I can pretend that it's a nice positive review. Go ahead, leave us a kind review if you'd be so kind. We'll see you next time, everyone. Until then, go out there and take action, become a real estate investor, and don't believe the hype. We'll see you next time.